Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And there are a couple things I'd like to talk about today. And certainly you can join us and you could broaden the conversation if you'd like. But two things. One is one of our Colorado Christian legislators, Senator Sean Mitchell from Broomfield, conservative Christian kind of guy. He's introduced a bill. This was on Fox News last night. The Living Together Benefits Bill, and it gives benefits to people living together, and it's supposed to be like an end run around efforts toward homosexual marriage. So we'll talk about that, the Living Together Benefits Bill, and I've got the transcript from Fox News last night with Libby Weaver. And I didn't see it myself, but someone in that I've worked with for years in the Denver Christian media saw this, recorded it, and emailed me a transcript and a bit of an email back and forth with Senator Mitchell. And then also, on the radio show preceding this, Larry and Chuck Bates, conservative Christians, neat guys, but they support Samuel Alito, and they mentioned Chuck Bates, the son, mentioned that there's a Denver afternoon talk show host, Bob Enyart. And so they talked about my position on Alito, and they disagreed. So those are the two things I'd like to start out with. Sean Mitchell's Living Together Benefits Bill, and then Chuck and Larry Bates and their discussion about what we have been teaching people about Samuel Alito's rulings of the past 10 years. And for one, I want to thank Larry Bates for being kind, and he said very kind things about me. But he and his son were defending Samuel Alito's rulings, and they said Chuck Bates said that on the surface, it might seem like these are pro-choice or pro-abortion rulings, but actually, a judge's job is to adjudicate the law. That the judge has to adjudicate the law, he has to follow the law. And so when he follows the law, that's what we want judges to do. And so Chuck could have gone on to say, therefore, in five pretty significant rulings, Samuel Alito came down on an extremist pro-abortion position, but he did so because he was following the law, but that was implied in what Chuck said. And then Larry Bates said, you know, he reminded us that Samuel Alito's mother said that her son is pro-life. And, hey, you know, you always go to the mom to find out the inside scoop. But Samuel Alito's mom, what, 93 years old, is one source of information, but his rulings as a federal judge are another. And time and time and time again, he even voted in the year 2000 to keep legal partial birth abortion. He's voted that parents cannot sue for the wrongful death of a child, an unborn child who was killed by malpractice and by extension even by a criminal. He gave Planned Parenthood's lawyers over $500,000 from New Jersey taxpayers. I mean, decision after decision after decision, not just pro-choice, but extremist abortion rulings. And it came down to this. Chuck and Larry Bates said that the judge's job is to uphold the law. That's the judge's job. And, of course, if the judge is compromising on thou shalt not murder, you're all deceiving yourselves to think that he's upholding the law. If the judge, they say, we need to be a nation of laws. Well, you can't be a nation of laws in any credible moral sense, if the laws skirt around thou shalt not murder. And when you have judges who rule upholding the killing of innocent children And then either through judicial philosophy or for political calculations, you have Christian leaders defending that, then you're in big trouble. You're in a lot worse trouble than when it's simply the wicked who are killing the innocent. Now you have the righteous who are defending those who kill the innocent because they're supposed to, because they're good judges. And that's what good judges are supposed to do. In these circumstances, a good judge is supposed to kill children. That's where we're at. And, you know, you have tiny ministries, larger ministries, national ministries, and this is pretty much filtering from the top on down. And we have all become legal positivists, so that it would be great, really, for Chuck and Larry to think through, you know, what is legal positivism? What is that? That's where we are to follow man's law above God's law. And so if a Christian judge, like Priscilla Owens, William Pryor, Samuel Alito, I don't know if they're Christian in their heart, if they truly trust in Jesus Christ or not, but a Christian judge, even an unbeliever judge, an atheist judge, should uphold thou shalt not murder. And if he doesn't, if he compromises and issues rulings where you could kill the innocent by that judge's authority, by that judge's ruling, then that judge is guilty of the shedding of innocent blood. He's guilty of murder. And we have Christians who've lost sight of thou shalt not murder out of a commitment to political process and judicial philosophy. And they say, our commitment is to the law. But if you're willing to compromise on thou shalt not murder, you don't have a commitment to the law. You have a commitment to process and to conservative politics. So that's where we're at. And I'd love to talk to Larry and Chuck Bates about this. We're sort of going back and forth over the air a few times now, but that's all right. That's fun to do also. Okay. And I'm going to go to the phones here. 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And then we will talk about Sean Mitchell, Senator Sean Mitchell from Broomfield, his Living Together benefits bill. But first, in Norfolk, Virginia, Timothy, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
Well, it's been a while since I've been able to talk to you. I'm still in the Navy and traveling all over the place, so it's hard to settle down and get to hear what you're doing.
I have been listening. Well, welcome back. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Bob. Congratulations on the church, and I hear things are going well out there, so congratulations on that. I'll be real quick. I just wanted to make a comment about the State of the Union address.
And yes.
I caught glimpses of it last night, but I did notice that obviously the Democrats pretty much sat there the entire time and didn't applaud. And it was surprising to me that even when Bush made the statement that there was a decrease in abortions and teen pregnancy, that even then the Democrats didn't
stand up. Yes, my wife Cheryl and I watched the State of the Union address. Bush said some things that were great, like opposing embryonic stem cell research, creating embryos for the purpose of doing scientific research on them, harvesting their body parts. So that, of course, was great. And, yeah, the Democrats were especially hard-hearted. They were forced to stand and applaud George Bush as the president on a couple of occasions. But, yeah, I noticed the same thing you did, Timothy.
It was kind of nice to see their true colors and for the whole world to see.
Yeah, the Democrats they're against what we're doing in Iraq primarily because it's a Republican president doing it. They weren't against Bush taking action in Europe because I'm sorry, they weren't against Bill Clinton going to war during his term because it was a Democratic president, and so he pretty much had free reign.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I had, so, Bob. God bless you guys, and good luck with everything.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you, Timothy. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, this broadcast last night on Fox News with Libby Weaver, that happened at 9:38 last night, 9 o'clock news, Fox News. And it was a 43-second segment. But yesterday afternoon, so hours before this newscast ran, we got a request in our office to do a show about Christians increasingly believing it's okay to live together. That was a request yesterday afternoon. I was asked, Bob, would you do a show on this topic? Because in the past month, I know of three Christian families where the parents are allowing their kids to shack up together. Either the daughter has the boyfriend move in with her in the bedroom in the parents' home, or they go on a vacation together, or the parents help the kids go on a cruise because they deserve a nice trip, and they're not married, and these are Christian families. Christian families, families that go to what you would call conservative Christian churches. And I think everybody would have to admit that there's a crisis. There's a crisis afoot because our Christian leaders, our pastors, talk show hosts, they have been so involved in political competition that it's easy to lose focus on right and wrong. On thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, you know, that sexual immorality is absolutely wrong. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. It's easy to lose focus and lose our commitment to the absolutes that God has revealed to us. And so you have Christians who are accepting of their children shacking up, who will go for a year or years, not even telling the children, you know, that's wrong, you should get married. Even when it's Christian kids and they go to church together. Now, why is this moral decay that's happening in the body of Christ, where is it coming from? Well, the law is the great teacher, and our Christian leaders have affirmed, they've supported, they've campaigned for, they have lobbied for so many lawmakers, so many politicians, so many initiatives, so many ballot initiatives, so many rulings, opinions, judges, confirmations, where wickedness is defended, that the rank and file in the body of Christ hardly knows right from wrong any longer. The Nehemiah Institute, it's the organization that studies the worldviews of kids in Christian churches. I met with the president of the Nehemiah Institute just a week ago after a Denver Nuggets game, downtown Denver. It was a lot of fun. We met for an hour, and they've tested 100,000 Christian kids, and he said it's absolutely tragic how the vast majority of our Christian kids have no Christian worldview, no Christian worldview. And so now this Christian Senator Sean Mitchell from Broomfield, Republican, conservative, he's in the political battle against homosexual marriage, which is good. But to do an end run around that, he has introduced the Living Together Benefits Bill, which is designed to be a moderate effort to say, you know, if you live together, you could own property together. You could visit people in the hospital. As I thought you could own property with somebody even if you don't are not living with them. And I don't know. I've never had trouble visiting anyone in the hospital. But just the bill, the Living Together Benefits Bill, that will do more to convince good people that it really is okay to live together, because even the conservative Christian pro-life leaders introduce bills. You know, they have some political long-range goal, but the Living Together Benefits Bill, there is no benefit to living together. There is no benefit to living together. It's a sin. It's destructive of marriage, of human beings, of families, and of our nation. And so the Living Together Benefits Bill, I understand the long-term political goal, but it's sort of ignoring the fact that the body of Christ is falling apart into it's melting into a sewer of sexual immorality. Let's go to the phones in Colorado Springs. Eric, welcome back, and let's talk about Alito.
Yeah, I don't have a really good connection today, so if I drop off, bear with me here.
Go ahead, hey, Eric.
Okay, you know, the issue about people being, you know, having a better view of people living together unmarried. You know, I think a lot of that might also have to do with precedent. You know, it's becoming so common that even Christians are accepting that precedent, just like they're starting to accept the abortion precedent.
Yeah, the law is the great teacher. So when the law says it's legal to kill unborn children, it's legal to shack up without being married, it's legal to be a homosexual, and on and on and on, it's legal to produce pornography. What happens is Christians gradually over time become influenced by that, and that becomes behavior typical of Christians, of true Christians. And then our Christian lawmakers, affirmed by our religious leaders, our Christian leaders, pass laws that compromise on do not murder and do not commit adultery and do not steal, but all for hoping that good might come of it.
Right. And I did hear the comment before your show from Chuck and Larry. And, you know, they tend to be pretty good guys there, and they're believers. And, you know, it is very easy to have this issue be clouded with precedent. Even I have had this discussion with you before, even on the air, regarding precedent. And it's easy to be clouded on the issue because you wonder if he's doing his job. There's so much precedent. He has to, you know, follow what other judges have said. You know, what it comes down to is this country is not entirely moral. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people who are not in this country who are not pro-life. So taking that cross-section in the democratic principle, kind of like what your caller yesterday was talking about, you know, it comes down to fairness. And here's the thing about fairness, though. You remember King Solomon in the Bible.
Right.
And King Solomon, you remember, after a while, he started, taking wives from all the different nations.
Yeah.
And then he starts building up, basically temples to their gods because, you know, he has different wives and they have their religious needs. And,
right.
And he wants to be fair to all these different wives. And this principle of fairness that he took to that extent was fair to the wives but was not fair to God.
Right.
And ended up costing Israel to have to have Judah have the Davidic line be cut off from the entire body of Israel, and only left Judah and Benjamin
Israel
Davidic rulership.
Right, Israel fell apart because they rejected God's principles and preferred man's tradition.
Right.
And that's what, when you have Christian leaders affirming Samuel Alito for voting to keep legal partial birth abortion. Now, are they affirming God's principle of do not murder, or are they affirming man's principle that a judge should follow precedent?
Well, they're doing that, and they're trying to be fair to everybody all the way around, but they're rejecting God's principles of right and wrong.
Well, thank you, Eric, very much.
Yeah, thanks.
I really appreciate that. And, Larry Bates said that, he said, hey, conservatives, they want the judges to legislate from the bench, but we can't support that. Now, wait a minute. Even if we go by the Constitution, which is a man-made document, which is not inspired by God, which counted blacks as 3/5 of a person, most blacks, and authorized the taxation of the importation of blacks as slaves. So the Constitution has its own serious problems. And aside from what I just mentioned, many serious problems. But even the Constitution says that you cannot deprive someone of life without due process. Now, what that means is that you can kill someone if they're convicted of a capital crime. If somebody's convicted of a capital crime, you can kill them. Well, the children who could be killed by Samuel Alito's rulings, his extremist pro-abortion rulings, those children were not convicted of capital crimes. They're not worthy of being killed with the authority of the federal government or a federal judge named Samuel Alito. They're not worthy of that. That's killing the innocent. And so the Constitution says you don't deprive people of life without due process. But even that is only a reflection of God saying, thou shalt not murder. And our Christian leaders, they're afraid to quote the Bible when they fight our culture war because there's so much in the Bible that they're afraid it's going to come back to bite them. because the Bible says, well, if you pick up sticks on the Sabbath, you violated the Sabbath, and you could be put to death. And so as soon as a Christian leader says, God said thou shalt not murder, and then Larry King or somebody or Alan Combs says to James Dobson, oh, the Bible says put to death somebody who violates the Sabbath. And then the Christian leader is ashamed or embarrassed. Or how do you respond? And so it's safer to stick with the Republican Party platform and constitutional law because that's a little bit less embarrassing, even though the Constitution legitimized slavery, owning blacks as property. And our U.S. Supreme Court, following the Constitution, issued the Dred Scott ruling, which George W. Bush and James Dobson and most conservatives consider to be a horrendous, despicable blot on America. Although that ruling was exactly consistent with their judicial philosophy. It was strict constructionist. This is what the Constitution permits, and we're not going to make the law. We're just going to apply the Constitution, even if it's evil, even if it's wrong. So the answer to those who would say, well, look what the Bible says about all these weird laws that we recognize we don't go by, is that God illustrated, God symbolized the coming of the Messiah. He illustrated spiritual truths through his covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. And God never said that the other nations of the world needed to keep Israel's national covenant. God was interacting with Israel as a theocracy where their kings and their priests and their prophets could talk with God. And God would intervene supernaturally and affect their public affairs. But before Israel was ever a nation, when Noah came out of the ark, God said, if anyone murders, if anyone sheds the blood of man, he shall be put to death. And in the New Testament, the death penalty is affirmed, and thou shalt not murder is affirmed. And that's a command from the time when Cain murdered Abel through to today. That's applicable to every nation. Thou shalt not murder. And there is no political agenda or judicial philosophy that justifies compromising on thou shalt not murder. And that's what we need our conservative Christian leaders to understand. Now, I'm going to take another call from Colorado Springs, but I want to let you know our telethon has begun today, and our goal for this month is to bring in $10,000, and $1,000 in monthly pledges. And this is to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the air for another year. We're on a 50,000-watt station, AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America. Beginning next week, Lord willing, we'll be on also in Des Moines, Iowa, in Ames, Iowa. And, of course, we're on the internet at kgov.com. But if you can help us, we need your help. If you could call in and make a one-time pledge toward our $10,000 goal. And some people might want to subscribe to a monthly Bible study album for $34.95 a month. You get a Bible study album in the mail every month, or the monthly sermons for $24.95, or the monthly video, fabulous, fun video for $24.95, or some people just make a donation for X number of dollars a month. So if you can help us out with a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, please, we need your help. Call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, or go online to KGOV, KGOV.com, and please help. Okay, in Colorado Springs, Paul, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
Great, sir.
Okay, I believe that the reason that we're seeing so much of this immorality come into the churches is because our pastors have changed the grace of God into a lie and making it a license for sin.
Well, sure, that happens. There's bad theology, Paul. But, of course, there's all different kinds of churches. Some churches are very strong on living by grace. Other churches promote living by law, right? And then you have Christian groups that are not within Protestantism, but even cults and different Christian groups. And so you have a very wide range of theological perspectives on how a Christian should live, by law or by grace. And so your explanation might apply to some churches that do that wrongly teach grace, but it wouldn't explain the whole mess that we're in nationwide.
Well,
would you agree?
I agree in that we have pastors that teach on that effect on this radio station that have taught, like Charles Stanley, that you cannot out-sin the love of God.
Well,
when
Paul
very clearly teaches that in Galatians 5:19 that the works of the flesh are evident, and then he lists them, and a bunch of those are fornication and uncleanness and lewdness and idolatry and sorcery and hatred and contentions and jealousy and outbursts of wrath.
Hey, Paul.
And then he says that none of those people are going to inherit the kingdom of God, but that's not taught.
All right, hey, Paul. Now, I just I realize you'd prefer to talk about that theological issue, and you're springboarding off my comment that the entire body of Christ is beginning to fall apart morally. But I could assure you that churches that teach exactly like you're saying, I can give you names of people in those churches, of teachers in those churches that have succumbed to the sexual immorality that's prevalent in America. And I'm saying it's not specifically a denominational theological position. Those issues are crucial. It's crucial that our pastors know how to teach the right application of law and grace and how do we use those. That is crucial, but I'm addressing the fact that the law is the great teacher, and our Christian leaders are affirming laws and rulings and candidates and politicians and judges who are violating thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, so that's the point I'm making. So a theological debate is fun, and I wrote a whole book about it. It's called The Plot.
Right.
And, Paul, if you'd like to, here's what I do generally with listeners who want to discuss theology.
Right.
I have a standing invitation. If they read The Plot, I'll make a commitment of 1 hour to meet in person or a phone meeting and to discuss theology with them. And that offer, of course, is good to you also. All right? I want to thank you so much.
Okay.
God bless you. Okay. Now, this email with Sean Mitchell. Sean, so I have a Christian friend who lives in Colorado. He's in Christian media, and he's the one who saw this on the news, and he sent off an email to Senator Mitchell, and he was discouraged. He said, you know, you've been elected supporting family values, as your website says, and this bill, the Living Together Benefits Bill, undermines family values. And so Sean Mitchell emailed back, and he said, hello, gave it my friend's name. I'm not sure what news source you saw about my bill, but it is not about endorsing same-sex couples. That's true. It's not. Indeed, it's an effort to provide certain practical benefits to established households, regardless of the nature of their relationship. And then Sean says he talked with Focus on the Family and the Catholic Archdiocese and feels that this Living Together Benefits Bill will help. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Check them out. It's a great school, Maranatha.